The title of the message this morning is Blessed Are the Meek. You may wonder why we're in the book of Psalms, but it's where I wanted to pull our text from this morning. And I'm going to read this psalm and then start our learning, I hope. At least it was a learning for me. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. So our title this morning comes from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So what does it mean to be meek? If I was to ask each of you to stand to your feet, if you considered yourself a meek person, who all would stand up? I would probably sit down after this study. So what does it mean to be meek? What is the definition of meek? Somebody help me out.
Humility.
Humility. Very good. All right.
Humbleness.
I'm sorry?
Humble.
Humble.
Power under control. Servant.
Serving?
Servant.
Servant. All right, very good. Mildness of disposition, gentleness of spirit is definitions that go along with what we have all, what has been shared already. So, how many of you this morning have ever rode a horse? Great day. We've got a bunch of cowboys in here and cowgirls. Okay. Many of you have seen a beautiful picture of a tall black stallion running in the wind. Or maybe a herd of wild horses, if we like to go to Paynes Prairie, and you'll see some wild horses down there. Free to run. Wild. Untamed. From what I understand, if we was to take this word meek and make it meekness, in the Greek it means the wild horse that has become obedient to the bit and bridle, which means power under control, meekness. So, yes, we're called to be meek, but it doesn't mean that we walk around looking like we lost our life, our friends, our possessions. It means that we have become controlled. And we're going to look into this a little bit farther. Spurgeon gives us five words that describe meekness: humble, gentle, patient, forgiving, and contented. Humble, gentle, patient, forgiving, and contented. Turn with me. Hold your hand here in Psalm 25, but turn with me to Galatians 5. We all know this scripture, but I want to read it, because meekness is also a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So the question to come to your mind personally this morning is, am I a meek person? Is the Christian character evident in my life? Am I growing in meekness? Am I meeker today than I was last year at this time? Strength under control, power under control speaks of submission. Somebody has said this: grow in meekness and you will gain control over anger. Meekness will moderate your passions. It will subdue your impulsiveness. That's not my words. I can't claim them. Grow in meekness and you will gain control over anger. Meekness will moderate your passions. It will subdue your impulsiveness. Meekness will change the way you speak. It will give you control over the harsh word and the sharp put down. Grow in meekness and you will discover contentment. You will be reconciled to the position you are in. Meekness will help you to accept the difficulties that you face, even to see the hand of God in them. Let me read that again. Meekness will help you accept the difficulties that you face and even to see the hand of God in them. Grow in meekness and you will enjoy peace. Meekness is about submission. Submission means to put your mission under the mission of someone else. And again, those are not my words. I'm quoting someone else. But I found them very powerful as I thought about them and as I studied them. Grow in meekness and you will discover contentment. And you will be reconciled to the place you find yourself in life. Paraphrasing this, meekness will help you accept the difficulties that you face and even to see the hand of God in them. So do you have a desire to grow in meekness this morning? I do this morning. I confess to you, I am not a meek person. Okay? You don't have to tell me that. I know it already. I want to grow in this. Back to our text here in Psalm 25. Verse number 1, it says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." Meekness does not come naturally. Is that fair? We need God to help us be a meek person. We need the power of God in our lives to experience meekness in the way God would have us to. So now, Psalm 147. We're going to be reading a lot of scripture this morning, but coming back to our text in Psalm 25 from time to time. Psalm 147, in verse number 5, we're going to start here. "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground." Notice that. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praises upon the harp unto our God." Verse 9, "Who covereth the heaven with the clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry." Verse 10, "He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. This morning, dear friends, if we want to be a people of God that God would have us to be, we must reach out to him and allow him to help us be the people, be the meek people he would have us to be. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. I think the first order of business that we need to be as Christian people is we need to reach out to God and ask him to be a part of our growth in meekness. Ask God to help me. Ask God to show me. Yes, ask God to maybe drag me through some things. Or allow me to be dragged through some things, be a better way to say it, so that I can be a meek person. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. You know, we can fully rest on an all-knowing God that understands us better than we understand ourselves. God sometimes knows exactly what we need. Or actually, all the time he knows that. Back to our text, Psalm 25. We have a teaching program here that I want to try to grab hold of this morning personally, and hopefully you can follow along. Psalm 25 and verse 4, it says, "To show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths." It says in verse 5, "To lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Verse 8, "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way." Verse 9, "The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way." Verse 12, "What is man? What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose." Verse 14, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant." How does God teach us this morning? How does he guide us? And what part do we play in this? Or, this is a thought that come to me personally, am I even meek enough to be taught? In James 1, keep your thumb here, but James chapter 1, we find a verse fascinates me on a variety of levels, but I want to read this verse, James 1 and verse 21. It says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." And I don't know what all this means. You study it out, what all it means, but bring it into your life personally. Get rid of this stuff, lay it down, and then it says simply to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. That is God teaching you through his word. You know, we need to submit. We talked about submission. We need to submit to the word of God. It says we need to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. So may, as we study this, as we grow in our meekness, may we find ourselves in a study of God's word. Okay, Psalm back a couple psalms to Psalm 22. It says here in verse 26, "The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever." They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Growing in meekness. Another call to meekness we find here back in our text in Psalm 25. We find here is the fact of our sin and God's forgiveness. Another call to meekness personally is the fact of my sin and God's forgiveness. Note verse 7. "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake. O Lord. Also down in verse number 11, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Verse 18, look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Does it truly humble me this morning to realize my sin before God and how He's so graciously forgiven me, has so graciously forgiven me? How could I ever struggle with pride or arrogancy or unforgiveness or anything that's anti-meekness? How could you with what God has saved you from? Psalm 76. In verse 9, it says this, when God arose to judgment, when God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth. Friends, this morning, are we serious about being a part of those who will be saved? When God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth. Am I serious about that personally? Back to our text here in verse number 16, we see meekness under test. We find this in verse 16, 17, 18, and 19. Turn thou unto me and have mercy upon me. For I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Meekness under test. Has your personal life of meekness ever been tested? Go with me to Numbers chapter 12. Who was the meekest man recorded in the Bible? Moses. Numbers 12 and verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Verse 3 says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Okay? Verse 4, and the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down on the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Verse 10, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, notice this verse in verse number 13, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. Was that not meekness under test? When them two people come and threw that back in Moses' teeth, what he was trying to do as a leader? I marvel at this story. Moses, yes, was the meekest man on the face of the earth. And he had led the children of Israel out of, and you know all the story, all the stuff they put him through. And it comes down to this, and Moses cried out to the Lord saying, "Heal her now, O God, I beg you." That is an example of meekness under test. Go with me now to 2 Samuel 16. Jason had talked about David. I want to read a little bit more about King David. 2 Samuel 16, let's pick up here in verse number 5. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul. Remember, they didn't like him. Whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. Verse 6, and he cast stones at David. And all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. Behold, thou art taken in thy mischief because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. Verse 12, notice this here in verse 12. And it may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And David and his men went by the way. Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. Can you see the meekness shining through from King David as he withstood this abuse? It may be. This is what he said. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. Here we have a king walking along, and I don't know the context. We don't have time to go into it. Minding their own business, and I don't know that they're doing anything wrong. I know there's bad blood. We know that. One man wanted to take off his head. The other one says, it may be the Lord will take care of this. You know, dear friends, this morning, I believe this is where many Christians have fell flat on their face in this pursuit of meekness. Violate my rights, hurt my feelings, touch my money or my family. We simply can't let it go. And let God take care of it. Meekness under test. Bringing this home to our church here. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 verses 1, 2, and 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Misunderstandings, false accusations, assumptions. Everyone here this morning has probably faced all three of them. Yet another opportunity to put the spirit of meekness to practice. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, endeavoring. That takes a work, dear people, this morning, to keep these things from pulling us apart and instead letting them draw us together. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, starting in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. In your journey, on our journey to find meekness, can we pull these verses into our lives, into our church, into our families? There are some big words we just read here. Vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We have a call to meekness. Now the words of Jesus in closing, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, 28, 29, and 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What an example that you and I can grab a hold of this morning as we pursue meekness in our personal lives, is you will just take a moment and consider the life of Christ. Consider His ministry. Consider His rejection, opposition. Consider the night in the garden when His disciples left Him. He's inviting us here to learn of Him. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And I don't know where you're at this morning, and I don't know what is stirring deep inside your soul or in your spirit or on your mind this morning, but I'm inviting you to bring it to Jesus and learn of Him. Learn how to be meek and lowly. Learn how to accept wrongs and hurts. Learn how to find grace under test. Matthew chapter 5, one more verse. Blessed, Matthew 5, verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. As we think about submission, as we think about recognizing sovereign God in our personal lives, giving up everything for the cause of the kingdom, it says right here, only then can we inherit the earth. Make it personal this morning, dear people, in our journey to meekness. And I've got a long ways to go, and I'm asking your help in my journey. Lead by example. Give me the things that I need to see. Challenge me. Because we are called to be a meek people. Shall we stand for prayer? Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day morning. Thank you for the opportunity to gather around your word. Thank you for each part of this service, the singing, the devotional, Sunday school lesson. Lord, it was such a blessing to be here. We also thank you for each and every one that is gathered in this building. Lord, these people are dear to us. They're our friends. They're our church. And they're here to help us on our journey. Help us, Lord, to be a people that is open and meek, approachable, forgiving, kind. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for the inspiration of your word. Thank you that you are our teacher and that you have promised that you will teach us and guide us and you have invited us to learn of you. And we praise your name for that this morning. Lord, we also pray for those of our group who are not here. May you bless and keep them where they're at. Protect them. Bring them back to us safely. If it's not against thy will. Lord, we also bring the children here this morning, the little ones, the youth, the moms and dads, the grandmas and grandpas. May you bless and keep each one. Lord, Satan would have us to be egotistic people running around with an agenda, trying to look better and act better and be better than our neighbor. Help us, Lord, to be meek. Help us to be humble. Forgive us where we have failed. Give us a new chance. Give us courage. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.